Yeah, if they have to suddenly go back and change their seller disclosure forms to say, I have a problematic electrical panel, it's going to cost them sooner or later. They may as well just deal with the buyer they're working with and get that issue resolved with that buyer, because the next buyer is going to have the same concern. The next buyer's insurance company is going to have the same concerns.
Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk, where we discuss real estate and your home. Let's get started with your hosts, Aaron Shishilla and Austin Hines.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Waypoint Real Talk. My name is Aaron, and today we have some awesome guests with us, Kevin and Lisa Cahill with Real Lean Real Estate. Welcome to the podcast, Kevin and Lisa.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you both.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about what really happens during a home inspection. And I know we also have some unique topics, some current events that we're going to talk about as well within this podcast. But before we just jump into it, let's just get started with your background. So tell us a little bit about you both.
Well, my name is Kevin Cahill, and my wife Lisa and I own Real Lean Real Estate, which is a national franchise brand, and we own real estate brokerages in Florida and Washington. And we offer coaching and training programs as well. We're headquartered in St. Petersburg, Florida. We have four offices currently in Florida and Washington. And we're really serious about making certain that consumers have the very best experience in their home sale and home purchase process. And we feel that a home inspection is mission critical to them having a fantastic experience.
Yes, that's so true. It's so important. We recommend home inspections, and we've just had really good results in our home inspections.
That's awesome. Okay, so to get started in the actual podcast itself, it'll be great to kind of discuss what some home buyers should expect from their home inspection. So since you guys have been doing this for quite some time, you obviously know some really great inspections that you've had, but also some bad inspections or where things fall short between the clients going into the actual inspection process and what they have their expectations set at. So what can buyers expect going into this process?
Well, our whole notion of a home inspection is so that a buyer fully understands the asset that they are purchasing. Often during the home inspection process, a home buyer will learn things about the home that the home seller doesn't even realize is the case with their home. And that may change their mind about purchasing the property, which could be a saving grace if all of a sudden they realize, goodness, we didn't want to get ourselves into this mess. Or it might help them realize, we were budgeting for a certain amount of updates and repairs, but now because of our home inspection, we realized that those repairs just expanded a little bit. Or it could be the case that they realize, you know what, it is what it is, and we weren't surprised by anything. It's in great shape. We're comfortable moving forward.
And what's so important about a home inspection is there are things that could be going on in a home that you just don't see on the surface. Electrical issues, you know, there's a lot here in Florida, homes that were built in the 60s, they were using aluminum wire, which is, we found, a fire hazard. And if you didn't have a home inspection, a home purchaser would have no idea that was going on in their house.
And I'm sure you see that all the time when you're doing inspections. You know, during the Vietnam War, copper was being sent over to the military efforts. And so aluminum was the preferred wiring in new homes. And that wasn't a good thing. But a lot of buyers wouldn't know this if they didn't have a home inspection.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think, for the most part, what are buyers going into with their expectations? Do they think, like, are they prepared for some of these home inspection items? Or do you guys really have to prep, you know, your clients before going into this process?
Well, we train our agents to prep their clients going into the home inspection. And we want them to have an eyes wide open understanding of the home that they're buying, rather than this notion that the home's probably fine. How do they know? They wouldn't really know. And I'm not saying that any home seller would be lying or obfuscating the truth about the condition of the home, but the seller may not even know that there are certain issues with the home. So we want them to have their eyes wide open when they purchase a home so that they understand what they're going to face in terms of maintenance and repairs of the property, and then also what they're going to face in terms of insuring the property. Now, we prep our agents with this so that they tell the home buyer, you want to have a home inspection so that you understand fully what you're purchasing. Then you can make a smart decision on how to move forward. Now, for us, it's rarely the case that a deal completely falls apart because of a home inspection, but often home buyers learn things about the home that are going to have a financial impact. And so it's smart that they know that up front.
What are some of the items that, or other inspections that happen, especially here in Florida? Because you mentioned the home inspection, right? But obviously we have tons of different other inspections. How do those play a role within the real estate transaction as a whole?
Well, of course, we defer to our home inspectors like you to tell consumers what might be an appropriate additional inspection. However, the typical inspections that we tell buyers to expect would be, first off, the general home inspection, and then a pest and wood destroying organism inspection. Those are just the absolute basics. And then, of course, we'll want them to have a four-point inspection, because they're going to need to insure the property. And here in Florida, a four-point inspection is a required document that insurance companies will look for when quoting. And then, of course, there might be additional inspections that you would point out to the consumer, like seawall. Maybe they would need an additional understanding of the electrical system. If, for example, they found one of those faulty electrical panels that insurance companies don't seem to like. We actually have a few different structural engineers that we've referenced in the past, because sometimes there's a crack in a wall, and the home insurance agent or the home inspector will point that out, and yet they don't know precisely if that's current or historic or what the issue is with that. So we might refer them to a structural engineer as well. And then, of course, if a home has a pool, it might be smart to have a pool inspector come out and tell them exactly what's going on with the condition of the pool and the pool equipment.
And one more, the wind mitigation. And that is done, I think, at the same time a lot of times.
But it's
a separate report that they use to get a reduced insurance due to the strapping in the attic for hurricane purposes of insuring.
Yeah, it's a good point. Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting about this is that there are many experts out there who can advise a home buyer on the structural and electrical and physical condition of the property. And we want our home buyers to avail themselves to these experts. And we don't want them to feel like, goodness, that's a $400 cost, that's an additional $200. Look, on the grand scheme of things, when you're purchasing what now in Florida, the average sale price in Florida is over $300,000, you need to invest the appropriate money into inspections so that you are protecting yourself for that purchase and for your future maintenance and repair concerns.
Well worth it.
Well worth it.
Absolutely agree with you. I can't count how many times I've heard stories where people skip inspections, or, you know, they go with somebody that maybe just started last week, and they get into the property and find out all these issues, and the inspector is maybe nowhere to be found, or they didn't have an inspection, so they had no idea that it was an issue in the first place. So now they're stuck with this large bill, which they didn't even know about, right? But going into specifically the four-point inspection, that's one here in Florida, very common, that we hear all the time, that it's usually the one that causes a lot of the home inspection contingencies during the real estate contract. Could you comment a little bit more about that and why you think that is, how you deal with that with your clients, and what you do to kind of prep them for those items?
Well, it's a great question. And really, a four-point inspection is going to tell an insurance company how insurable the property is in its current condition. And so it's going to have an immediate economic impact on their insurance bill, the quote that they get. Now, one of the things that Lisa and I often find amusing is that real estate agents will come back to us or to our agents after a home inspection and say, the property can't get insurance. Well, let me tell you something about the insurance industry. They will insure anything. They'll insure, you know, a TV news anchor's legs. There is nothing that the insurance industry won't insure, including a house. So the fact of the matter is, a home doesn't fail a home inspection, and it is never the case that a home can't get insured. What is factual would be to say that they had the four-point inspection, and in its current condition, the buyers don't like how expensive the home insurance quotes are. And in order for them to get more reasonable quotes, they're going to have to do certain updates to the property, either the electrical panel or the plumbing or the heating and cooling system or the roofing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but those are the 4 points of the 4-point inspection. And so when a property isn't really in the condition that a buyer would like to be, it's not that it failed the inspection. There is no pass or fail grading system. We're simply giving the buyers a untarnished opinion of the current condition of the property. It's not a passing or a failing grade. It's just what it is. So real estate agents and home buyers need to be mindful that they actually negotiate from a position of strength, which is not to say that the home is uninsurable, but it is to say that in its current condition, the buyers don't necessarily like the quotes that they're getting on the insurance.
And it's also important to have a good insurance agent that, you know, if someone's buying a fixer-upper or something, somebody that will provide that insurance on an otherwise expensive insurance house project. And we've done that before. We have a great insurance provider, and we've bought houses that wouldn't get normal insurance because of the 4-point. And then we just get the insurance for a 30-day period that allows us to fix everything that will enable us to get a reasonable insurance quote.
Actually, you're right. I mean, we get those short-term, almost like a builder type of insurance coverage. And then we replace a roof, update the electrical panel, replace the air conditioning system, or address the plumbing. And now all of a sudden the home is getting premium insurance rates.
Exactly.
And all of this comes from the buyer fully understanding the condition of the property that they're purchasing. And that can only be accomplished through a competent competent inspection process like you provide.
Right.
I just want to jump in here real quick. So that's an interesting point you just made, because that's something that I even hadn't heard before. So maybe I don't have the right perception on, because I've heard from the buyers, them coming back and saying, oh, I can't get insurance with what was found on the 4-point. But your point is, no, they can. It's just they may have to go with that one specific carrier that's going to be charging so much more than what they would get if they had, you know, the proper items in those sections. So that's interesting. And like I said, that's something I wasn't even aware of. So there we go, changing perceptions on this.
Yes, we should give you the name of our insurance people so that you have that.
Right.
That you can help people out with that.
And obviously, if someone goes online and just starts tapping away on the keyboard, Googling insurance in Florida, they're not necessarily going to get the advice and counsel of a competent home insurance expert who can guide them through the paths that can get them through that interim period. And what I've experienced is that often real estate agents take this very heavy-handed approach to negotiating repairs or credits rather than a more a collaborative approach, saying, look, here's the thing. We could get insurance. It's just ridiculously expensive. Because the number one response home sellers always say is, well, I've got insurance. Just call my guy. Well, then it gets this loggerhead going where the home seller has insurance. The buyer says it's impossible to insure the property. And if the seller were to try to get insurance again today, with that current four-point inspection, they'd face the exact same problem that the buyer's facing. So then really it comes down to a collaborative conversation, which we call negotiating, where you're able to negotiate a meeting of the minds. It might be the case that the condition of the home is a surprise to the seller. And now that buyer and seller are both aware of it, they can figure out, hey, why don't we solve it this way? And then you get the deal done and you keep transactions together. And in essence, a great property still goes to the perfect buyer.
Yeah. And I've heard with insuring some of those items, like say a Federal Pacific electrical panel or the Sylvania Zinsco electrical panel, what I've heard, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these insurance agents, what they do is they do like a 30-day window where it's like, we'll give you insurance for 30 days, but it's, you have insurance for 30 days. After those 30 days, you need to have it replaced. So that gives the buyer enough time to actually purchase the property, move in, and get it repaired after the fact. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's exactly right. And so then the challenge becomes the buyer and the buyer's agent very effectively negotiating whatever makes sense for the buyer and is acceptable to the seller so that the cost of replacing an electrical panel isn't completely inappropriately placed. And what's interesting about real estate is that, you know, everything's solvable by price. So if a home buyer learns about something with regard to the condition of the home through the home inspection process, and they weren't comfortable addressing those newly discovered problems, it's really just a question of how do we solve this through a price negotiation, a credit negotiation. Sellers may not want to do the repairs, but they might contribute money toward the repairs. Many different ways to solve it. But yes, it's really one of the key focuses for us of having a home inspection so that the buyer is not surprised and upsetted and financially hurt by the condition of the property.
Now, how do all these inspections play into like the condo space? If someone's purchasing a condo, are these the same kind of inspections they're going to need?
Well, of course, you'll know better than us, but you know, obviously our take on a condo is that a home buyer purchasing a condo all too often thinks we don't need an inspection at all. All of this stuff is covered by the association, the roof, the foundation, the parking, the driveway, the exterior of the building. All we have to worry about is the studs in. Well, a lot can go wrong inside the shell of a condo.
We have a story about that.
Oh, well,
we just recently learned there was a condo complex in our area, and a certain part of the complex, the association had not fixed the roofs in a timely manner. So they did finally put new roofs on them, but the trusses were falling down.
Oh, yeah.
So the people did have a home inspection. The home inspector went up in the attic and found that the trusses were falling down. So it was so great that the buyers knew about this. And the whole complex, nobody knew this was going on. And the home inspection discovered this. So thank goodness, I'm sure the people didn't buy it, or there had to be massive repairs done before the deal could go through.
Well, and then also in some of these older buildings, you are going to see those Zinsco and Challenger electrical panels. It's not uncommon at all. And many buyers think, well, it's a condo, it's all fine. However, even though they're not going to require the same type of insurance coverage as they would on a single family home, the underlying problem, which is the arcing and the sparking and the fire issues of those electrical panels that insurance companies don't like, that's still inside of your property. So why would you let that go? And we see that all the time.
A lot.
Plumbing issues inside of a condo and different problems as well. So I would think that you'd want to do a home inspection on a condo just as eagerly as you would on a single family home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you make a great point there. And it's interesting from our perspective because we see a lot of people, when they're purchasing a condo, right, they don't necessarily want to get into the home inspection or don't think they need a home inspection because they're like, oh, everything's protected by the homeowners association, so I don't need to worry about it. But as you mentioned, you know, the trusses were probably rotten from the roof leaks and nobody caught it. So it's the same thing where are you okay moving into this property with everything that's going on? I know as a home inspector myself, when I was doing inspections, even if I was doing an inspection on a condominium where the roof was covered or the exterior was covered or the, you know, the trusses were covered, I was still going in that attic. I was still climbing on that roof if I could. And I was still walking the exterior of the property just because you don't know what is there. And I'm sure we saw that with tons of other condominiums, especially in the news recently, right?
Yeah, terribly sad down in Surfside near Miami. I mean, unimaginable amounts of deferred and neglected maintenance causing an entire collapse of a 12-story condo building. Now, we're members of the Miami Association of Realtors as well, and so I'm in the Miami MLS, and that happened on a Thursday morning, a terribly tragic collapse of that building. And there were four units for sale in that building. And of course, Thursday afternoon, all four of those were canceled out of the MLS. But there were people who could have bought in that building and who did buy in that building in the prior months. And they see all this spalling concrete and cracks in the parking garage. It can be catastrophic. So there is no reason in the world, in the scope of a home purchase, to choose not to invest in a home inspection.
Absolutely. I know in that specific case, you know, it is very tragic, very upsetting, especially with what happened with all the deferred maintenance. And it's unfortunate what happened. So hopefully moving forward with all the investigations that happen, we can find out, you know, what exactly happened and how we in the future can look at ways to prevent this from happening again. I know in the same place, so I did inspections on the east coast of Florida in Brevard County, Melbourne area, where NASA is Space Coast. And the same thing over there with some of the condominiums, just the older ones, eventually that concrete gets exposed, the salt air and the water reaches the rebar that's inside the concrete and rusts it out. And it just slowly happens over time. So if you defer that maintenance, I mean, it's very important that these condos are being properly maintained and have the inspections that they need.
Well, when you climb up onto a roof and look around at the condition of the property, you're doing a huge service to that home buyer and really to the home seller when they learn of the condition of the property, because obviously an owner of a condominium has a percentage responsibility for all of those upcoming expenses. So simply because the other body condo association, as opposed to you, the individual home buyer, are responsible for those repairs, just because the condo association is responsible for those repairs and maintenance doesn't mean that they're doing it out of the largesse of their heart. It's coming out of the owner's pocketbooks.
And that could indicate something that's going to be a problem in the future, where you might get an assessment if they don't have proper reserves. So if the home inspector points out this roof really needs to be replaced, and the buyer finds out, well, there's nothing in the minutes about it, they don't have reserves for it, then they would have to make a decision. Am I going to want to fork over $10,000, $20,000 to have an assessment, or am I just going to go find something else to buy?
And of course, Lisa is a certified public accountant in addition to being a real estate agent. So she looks at those financials for condo associations when we're working with sellers and when we're working with buyers. And what's interesting is that Lisa loves it when a condo association has a ton of money in reserves when you're a buyer. Because in essence, if they, let's say it's a 100 unit building and they have $400,000 in reserves, well, that means that each one of those 100 units actually gets $4,000 of credit towards future repairs.
Of course.
Now, when a property doesn't have appropriate reserves, then each one of those 100 owners is going to be on the hook for 1% of the cost of whatever a home inspector might say, hey, this is going to be coming up as a concern
I like to think of it as when I buy a condo that has high reserves, I like to think of it as someone who owned that condo before has been paying into those reserves for years and years. And now I'm buying it and I'm getting the benefit of that, because usually they'll cut back on the monthly payments because they say, well, I've got plenty of reserves now. And I like to be in that position when I'm buying and there's high reserves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great point. I've actually never thought about it that way. When you're purchasing a property, look at those documents like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're buying into an entity that should have money in reserves, and you know, divided by the number of owners, that percentage is your portion of the reserves. And it's also your portion of the future bill. So it's smart to look at it from both perspectives.
Yeah, because many condos do not have those reserves. They've all gotten together and they've decided, you know, we're just going to pay the ongoing monthly maintenance bills of lawn maintenance and security and property maintenance and small things. And they amongst themselves have voted, you know, when we need to replace the roof, we're just going to collect money then. So you have to be aware.
And that can be perfectly fine.
That's fine if they've all agreed on it. But as a purchaser of a condo, you need to know that that could be a possibility. So you can make your decision based on that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because then, I mean, you could purchase the property and then be stuck with the bill of having to replace the roof when you just moved in.
Absolutely. And like, and that happens.
And
that
like
happens.
We were talking about Champlain Towers South in Surfside, north of Miami. You know, they had a $15 million assessment to replace the roof and to do all sorts of work that had been deferred for way too long. And then the whole building collapsed.
And of course, it was deferred because they didn't have the money to do it. And people didn't want to chip in to do it.
So
is why it gets deferred like that.
So you want to look at the total history of a condo, and a home inspection is going to point you in some immediate concern areas.
Absolutely. So going into new construction now, because I know you guys have some experience with new construction. So I'd love to hear about
that. On that one.
Well, and I'll let Lisa tell this. However, if I may, I'll set the frame a little bit.
Go ahead.
So in Washington State, where we also own brokerages and we've dealt with transactions there, there's this, to me, unsettling trend for buyers to completely forego the home inspections when they purchase a property to try to make their offer look more appealing to a home seller, which to me is absolutely catastrophic to their own financial interests. They're so eager and so desperate to find a home that in my mind, they're making just a ridiculous mistake by saying, I'm going to forego the inspections. What they could do, which would be equally attractive to a home seller, is to say, I'm going to get the inspections done lickety split, really quick. Give me 6 days, I'll be done with my inspections. Of course, at that point, if they learn of something unsettling, they can always ask for an extension, ask for a little more time to deal with their due diligence process, but they shouldn't just completely forego their inspections. And even with new construction, you got to be a little bit concerned about that. Lisa, tell the story.
Well, there was a home in Washington that was new construction. And it was actually, we bought the house.
It was our actual home.
Yeah, it was our house. So it was new construction. And fortunately, the house had a 3-year warranty on it. Now, when we bought the house with a 3-year warranty. Now, after the ones built after the one we bought only had a 1-year warranty. So we had the house and we decided to sell it. And it was only 6 months old when we sold it. So the people that bought it, of course, they had a home inspection. And we thought, well, no problem. And if something comes up, we have a warranty on it. Thank goodness we had that warranty and it was still in effect, because they found during the home inspection that the insulation underneath the house in Washington. So that's sort of something different than what's here.
Yeah, but crawl the space under the house had insulation.
And it was not properly installed. So there was a gap between the floor and the insulation underneath the house. So that caused mold to grow.
Which we didn't know about.
We didn't know. There was no way we would have known. So fortunately, the home was still under warranty. So they had to remediate that mold. They had to remove all the insulation under the house. They had to treat it for the mold, and they had to replace the insulation. And do you even know how much that cost?
Yeah, that was a total of about $2,900.
Okay.
And the builder,
and we would have had to pay that had we not had the warranty on the house.
The builder covered it because it was covered under warranty. We had only been there 6 months, so this had been brewing during our time of ownership. Mm-hmm. There was new construction in our neighborhood, so the buyers who purchased our home could have bought new construction as well, and maybe wouldn't have found mold under their property at that time, but 6 months later, that mold was showing up.
So now we know that even new construction, you need to have a home inspection, and we would always
recommend that.
We do recommend that for other people, but
here we
don't take our own advice sometimes.
Well, and you know what the thing about it was, we knew that they, first off, the building was covered by the builder warranty.
Yes.
And there were some checklist items that the builder was still going to take care of. I can't remember what they call it, like a button list or
punch list.
So the point being that even with new construction, you would do well to have a home inspection.
Absolutely.
There's no guarantee that a home is properly built. And, you know, it's smart for people to get a home inspection regardless of the age or the perceived condition of the home.
And we were lucky that they went in and fixed it properly
pretty fast because we had to do that before closing.
Yeah, we were under contract and they got in there and fixed it. But you just don't know what you're going to be dealing with when you've got a warranty, if they're going to stand good on it or anything like that. So it's better just to know what you're dealing with at the beginning.
And those buyers were smart, and they were very fortunate that they found the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with new construction, that's a big one we focus on, especially when it comes to trying to educate people that are having new homes built. It's exactly like you said, like you can't go in there thinking that just because it's a brand new home, there's not going to be anything wrong with it. And I think it's important to say too, is it's when we're talking about the issues we find on new construction, it's not like we're saying every brand new house out there has a ton of issues. It's just, especially here in Florida, and it's been going on for years, but the way that these communities are blowing up around us, the builders are having to hire on crews as quickly as they can to get these homes built as quickly as they can. So there's naturally going to be some quality issues. And I usually get asked a question, well, what builders do you see issues with? And the answer is, well, really, we can see an issue with any builder, right? Because it really comes down to the specific supervisor that's overseeing that construction and how many homes are they responsible for. Somebody who's overseeing 20 to 30 homes being built is going to have much less time to focus on them than somebody that only has a handful. And like you said too, we've noticed across the board, any type of issue you could imagine in a new construction. We've seen trusses installed upside down. We've seen plumbing run through the attic that's being supported by cracked 2x4s. I mean, we've seen it all. And those are things that if the buyer doesn't have an inspector on their side and the building supervisor doesn't happen to catch it, it's going to get covered up by that drywall and you would never know it's an issue until it becomes an issue 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, long after you're outside of that 1 year warranty. And now you're the one that's on the hook for getting any of those things repaired. So I think it's a great point you make. And I think it's also important for buyers to understand if they want a new construction inspection, have that conversation with the builder as early on in the process as possible. Because we've noticed more and more builders that are trying to limit the buyers to only getting a final inspection, saying you can't get the pre-drywall or you can't get a pre-slab pour. And some of those inspections are crucial to make sure that the home's being built properly. So a lot of times I see buyers too that they sometimes opt to not getting a real estate agent to represent themselves in new construction. They go directly through the sales rep. And it's like, you got to have a realtor on your side, right? You have to have a real estate agent on your side, even with new construction.
Absolutely. That's good to know that you focus in on that, that you kind of know what to look for in the new construction.
And it's really a lesson for home buyers as well. They just, are out driving around, and we've learned that buyers will look everywhere and anywhere for a home that might match their needs. And if they see the flags fluttering on a Tuesday afternoon, they might drive into a new development and walk into a model home and meet the sales rep there for the builder, and boom, their agent is cut out immediately. They crossed over that threshold and now they don't have representation. And then they call their own agent and apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry, you won't be able to help us with this one, but believe me, we're going to give your name out to other people. Well, they don't realize that they just actually hurt themselves, not the agent. The agent, you know, yes, it's unfortunate if an agent loses a buyer and doesn't get a fee, but those buyers don't recognize the incredible value that an advocate brings to their team when they have somebody looking out for their own interests. And that includes the agent, the inspection team, all sorts of people that they should have, and they sort of don't realize that they just left all that stuff behind when they walk into a model home unrepresented.
That is a very great point. And I've been thinking for a while now, I'm seeing more and more posts, and we can wrap up with this one, but I've been seeing more and more posts about how Zillow, Redfin, all these online brokerages are going to somehow take over. And I'd love to know, especially with your thoughts on there, what are your thoughts for Zillow and these online brokerages real quick?
Well, I've got great thoughts on the whole iBuyer scenario. And that is that home sellers need to be really wise about what they're walking into when a company is interested in buying their home. They're not doing that out of some incredible generosity. They're doing it because they have an economic incentive to buy your home below market value. And when they buy your home below market value, their economic model is that I'm going to sell it at fair market value and I'll pocket the difference. And that really hurts home sellers. Now, the other side of that, which is equally disconcerting, is this notion that home sellers avoid all sorts of inconvenience and hassle and stress. Well, moving is stressful no matter what. And, you know, just imagine boxing up every little tchotchke you have in the home, packing up all your plates so that they don't break during the move, trying to figure out what just happened, that my dresser now has a chip in it. It's stressful. Having your home on the market for a few days, especially in this market, it's going to sell pretty quickly. That's not a terrible inconvenience. And if you're leaving money on the table, that could be ridiculous.
I mean, it's tens of thousands of dollars. We've actually tested it.
You know, we're students of the game.
And what was it, over $100,000?
So Lisa and I had a home that we were about to put on the market. Lisa and I have bought and sold our own primary residence 8 times in the last 9 years. We want to be sympathetic to our clients so that we understand what they're going through. We go through it ourselves on purpose every few months. So we had a home that we were going to sell in St. Petersburg, and I had received a postcard in the mail from one of these internet buyers, instant buyers, you know, we buy homes that don't look so great, whatever it might be. And so I thought, well, I'm going to check out this website and see what they offer. So I went online, uploaded my photos. They auto-populate my property information, but then I correct a whole bunch of stuff because it's not a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home. Now it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. We redid the kitchen, redid the electrical panel, replaced the roof. They gave me back a quote, which was, I think it was about $321,000. And they said, if you have any objection to that, you can tell us why. And so I answered back, here are the things that we've really done that make this home incredible. They upped their offer to $326,000. But then I looked at the fees. And the fees were, they're supposed to be avoiding realtor fees, but the fees were like 9.5%. So then I would have netted about somewhere in the neighborhood of about 290 something. And I thought, well, that's crazy. It's way below. I knew the 326 was way below, but I just wanted to see the whole thing through because I'm a student of the game. So we put the home on the market the following week for 417.5 and sold it for 407.5. And we netted 392, just about $100,000 more than this iBuyer would have paid us. And that's a lot of money I mean, that's 25% of the total value of that home. And I don't understand why home sellers don't avail themselves to a wonderful real estate brokerage. They want full service. They want massive marketing. Our business model is that we do all that for lower fees. So there are options out there for companies who will provide them a great service without the 6% plus fees, and then expose it to the whole market and get the full fair market value yourself.
So it sounds like the moral of the story is we need to listen to our real estate agents.
Always. Right.
and to be a little bit more discerning about what these companies are telling you. Oh, you know, it'll be stress-free. It'll be hassle-free. We've heard horror stories from people who then hire us to get their home sold because they were offered a certain amount. They were 2 or 3 days away from closing, and the iBuyer then sent through somebody to do a final walkthrough. Well, the final walkthrough proved to be a full-blown inspection of the property. And then they come back and say, hey, we're not going to be able to close tomorrow. So sorry, we need to negotiate the price downward because of what we learned during our final walkthrough, which was actually a full-blown inspection. And these people were wise enough to say, that's crazy. You guys are just completely trying to pillage my situation. Yeah. So they put the home on the market and we sold it for about $60,000 more than their initial offer before they even had this home inspection, which wanted to knock off another 20 plus. People need to be a little bit more wise about their total situation.
And buyer beware.
Yeah. And seller beware.
And seller beware. I mean, they're just in it to make money. And it's not the most honest way to make money.
Plus, it's a terrible, terrible strategy. And hopefully it'll disappear. Now, what always baffles me about these iBuyers is that when the market tanks, they stop buying homes. Now, hold on a second. If you're trying to help people who are feeling like I don't have a solution and I need to get my home sold, why not help them when the market is tanking? First off, you'll buy homes at lower prices.
That would have been the time to do it. And then from their point of view.
Secondly, it would be like, wow, you're really helping people who are in a pinch. No, when the market softens, and it happened at the beginning of the pandemic, in March and April, all these companies stopped buying homes. Well, hold on. That's when people really need your help.
And that's when they should have been buying homes because now everything's gone back up.
Imagine if somebody bought a home last March and then tried to sell it this March, they would have made an enormous profit, but they would have actually helped somebody who was in a pinch.
Yeah.
Well, they're not wanting to help people in a pinch. They're only wanting to make certain of their profitability.
And I think you made a really good point about how they promote themselves as being the convenient option, right? Let's reduce your headaches. Let's reduce your stress. We're just going to buy your home directly from you so you don't have to have a bunch of people coming in and out. And it really seems like it's a made up convenience. It's not actually, I mean, yes, there's stress in it regardless of which direction you go. So it's not like it's as big of a problem as they're advertising, but to those people that hear it, they're thinking it's that big of a problem. And that's why they want to go that direction. Oh, I can just do this online. I don't have to actually meet with somebody like a real estate agent face to face. Oh, that's so much more convenient. But like you said, if they truly understood the full process, they would realize that that little bit of convenience they're getting is sacrificing a lot versus if they actually worked with a real estate agent. So I have a question for you out of curiosity. So let's look at this from the other perspective. Let's look at it from a buyer who's purchasing a home that's owned by the company who bought the home from the seller. So Zillow, for example, right? Zillow buys the house from the seller and now Zillow's listing it to sell to a potential buyer. What is it like? Do you have any insight as far as what it's like representing the buyer who's trying to buy that home from the company? Is it any more difficult or any different than if it was just listed by the seller that was working with a real estate agent?
So we've only had a couple of experiences where we've brought buyers to properties that were offered by OfferPad or Zillow or these other iBuyers. And for us, our experience is that it's typically a very traditional type of home sale, which is interesting. Here's a company that's saying you should avoid the stress and hassle and inconvenience of precisely how we're going to sell your home in a couple months. The contradiction and the hypocrisy of it, it should really send a glaring signal to these home sellers beware of dealing with these iBuyer types, because they're going to go ahead and do what I don't want to do so that they can pocket all the money. Why don't I just do it myself and pocket all the money? Now, here's an important thing. We talk about this all the time with our home sellers. You know, our business model is that when we work with home sellers, we provide full service and we only charge 4%. If we're the only agent involved in the sale, we lower our fee to 3%. That difference in commission from the typical 6% plus is a lot of money. If you're dealing with, say, a $400,000 home, that could be an $8,000 or $12,000 additional hold on that equity. However, the real math comes in when most home sellers actually have a mortgage on their property. And you factor that fee as a percentage of their equity position. Lisa did the math, and as a CPA, she was like, Kev, it's more like 18 to 27% of a typical home seller's equity position, because most people still have a mortgage on their property. So it's not that 6%, while being a lot of money, is, you know, acceptable, which we think it's too much. But when you factor it against their equity position, you know, a real estate agent is saying, hey, let me walk in the door and take about 18 to 25% of the equity you've built over the last 6 or 7 years. Well, the same thing's true with iBuyers. You're letting them pocket an inordinate amount of your equity position by having the junk fees that they put in on the back end for this perceived convenience, which is really no greater convenience.
No, I think that they're thinking that it's going to be more of a convenience than it really is. They're still going to have to turn the power off and clean the house out. They're going to still have to do certain things. And I, you know, we did a whole podcast on this just in the last week or so, because we wanted to educate people so that they could not get taken advantage of.
We want people to make smart decisions. Obviously, we're talking with you today because we believe so fully that having a home inspection is mission critical to the smart process that they should use when buying a home. And actually, I'd love to talk with you about, you know, having a home inspection if you are a seller. I think that's a very smart strategy. When you're about to put your home on the market, you should actually consider having the expense of a home inspection so that you can pre-address some of those future negotiation issues. What's been your experience with having those seller inspections?
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. With those pre-listing inspections, I mean, and especially in certain markets too, it just gives the power back to the seller, right? Because when you have your property and you've been living in it for so long, you don't really know what's going on. You don't really know that, you know, your Federal Pacific panel doesn't work anymore for insurance. So who's to say that some other random inspector doesn't come along when they, you know, you put your property up for a listing and you have your inspections, you're under contract, and the buyer's inspector comes along and says, yeah, so this is my report. These are all the things that need to be fixed. And all these things are hazards and safety issues. Well, as a seller, you're looking at the report and you have no idea which items you should start looking at or which items you should just say, well, like, I don't know about this one. But if you have a pre-listing inspection, you really go into the process with the knowledge of, this is what I needed to fix for, you know, the next buyer coming in. I want them to feel safe in this home. And these other items, these are pretty minor. I've talked with my inspector on it. You know, I've lived in the property for a long time now. These items, I'm okay with just saying, you know, making them the buyer aware about these items. And you can use that as a marketability point for your property as well by saying, you know, here's the inspection report. These are the repairs that we've done to the property. So that way you're going into the process of like, look at how much you can trust me in this process, because I'm looking out for your best interest too, right? I'm laying all the cards out on the table. And I'm sure you guys have the same thing when you're going through it. Is that the case?
Well, I think you raise a great point. It does enhance the seller's position of strength. And when we work with home sellers, which is most of our business is seller focused, we do want to keep the seller in a position of strength. And when they have their information about their property not up to date, then they don't realize that they're in a weaker position. But having a home inspection ahead of time will keep them in a position of strength. And then you raise another good point, which is so much of a home sale process, you know, for a buyer to purchase a home, a seller to sell the home, it is a trust conversation. And do I trust that this buyer is actually going to be able to get the financing? Do I trust that this buyer is actually going to close on time? And what's happening is the seller is saying, I'm going to do what I can so that you have a higher perceived level of trust in me that I'm selling you a good home. I think it raises a lot of credibility for the seller when they have that. What would it cost for a typical buyer? I mean, a few hundred dollars, maybe $400 or so. And they're able to help alleviate concerns for a buyer. I think it could pay huge dividends.
I agree. And I'd like to see more people, you know, having that attitude. And we've had lots of our seller clients have that attitude where I want to feel good about the house that I'm selling to someone. And I think that's just a wonderful attitude for people to have. And plus, if something comes up during the inspection, now the seller has a disclosure issue.
True.
And that's not good.
And change their seller disclosure forms to say, I have a problematic electrical panel. It's going to cost them sooner or later. They may as well just deal with the buyer they're working with and get that issue resolved with that buyer, because the next buyer is going to have the same concern. The next buyer's insurance company is going to have the same concerns, and it won't get better. May as well solve it right now.
And then when a home comes on the market, goes under contract, goes back on the market, that gives a little bit of a stain on the whole process to buyers. Me. I mean, you're going to get the most money and have the best result if you get the property out there and get it sold right away.
Buyers are obviously looking to protect their financial interests in their home sale process. You know, they want to find the right home in the right neighborhood in acceptable condition, and they're on high alert that they don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to buy in the wrong neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I don't want to buy the wrong home. It's not exactly what we need, but we're compromising because we're under time constraint. And all of a sudden they are on high alert. And a seller would do incredibly well to alleviate a lot of that concern by saying, here's a copy of an inspection report we just had by Waypoint done in the last month. And now, you know, you should also have your own inspection. However, we're not hiding anything. It can bring enormous peace of mind to wary, skeptical buyers.
Yeah, in addition to that peace of mind, one thing I've heard other real estate agents talk about too is by the seller getting their own inspection done, they know where their money is best invested, right? If you have a seller who has $10,000 and they say, oh, I'm going to upgrade these cosmetic items in my house, that may be great, but then when we find the Federal Pacific panel, that's going to cost $2,500 to fix. That $10,000 could have been better appropriated if they knew the things that would have caused issues to begin with.
That is an excellent point. If they only have so much money to spare, you know, some people don't have a lot of money to put into things, and we've seen that before, where they don't have the money to fix these things, whereas they may have had it had they not recarpeted or something cosmetic. That's an excellent point.
Yeah, they can defer carpeting. They can defer floor tiles. They can defer granite countertops. They need to invest in the fundamentals of that home right away.
Things that will affect a loan.
And the insurance and the long-term viability of that property as an appreciating asset. And Lisa also raised a very good point, which was that buyers tend to be so skeptical about, you know, whether a home seller is trying to pull one over on them. Whereas the reality of it is, home sellers often are feeling like, I want them to love this house. I want them to really appreciate all the minor little things that we've done to the home. We've got the soft closed drawers, and we did all these nice other updates for a future buyer to enjoy as much as we enjoyed. But buyers are concerned about that not being the case. Buyers are thinking, oh, they probably just did cheap work and they're trying to pull one over on me to pocket a big, huge gain. Well, when you went to the expense of having a pre-listing home inspection, I think you're going way over and above helping a buyer feel like, well, these are people who actually want me to buy a good house.
Yeah, it shows a high level of integrity to
Absolutely.
Me.
Yeah. Definitely agree with you guys. So concluding here, where can people find you, Kevin and Lisa?
Well, we can easily be reached at on our website, reallean.com. That's spelled R-E-A-L-E-A-N.com. And email kevin@reallean.com or lisa@reallean.com. And our office phone number is 727-755-1995. We're growing nationally, which is exciting. So if listeners to your podcast want to reach out to us and talk with us about our coaching programs or training or joining us as agents, then we'd be delighted to have conversations with them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Wonderful insights, by the way. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you both. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And any other time that you would like to have us on, we'd be more than happy.
Awesome. All right. Thank you both. Have a good rest of your day.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.